One, two, three, four.
Hey, did you guys like that? That was Klezmer Jingle Bells, and I am Rachel Wharton, the deputy editor of Edible Manhattan and Edible Brooklyn, and this is the inaugural issue of Edible Brooklyn Radio on heritageradionetwork.com, and our sponsor today is Fairway Market. Our topic today, 2 days before Christmas 2009, is not Christmas food, but the opposite. We are going to be talking about Jews, Chinese food, and when the two come together on Christmas Day. Before we get, I actually should introduce my guests. We have Brian Hallwell, who is the publisher of Edible Manhattan, Edible Brooklyn, and Edible East End. We have Daniel Gritzer, who is a food writer with Time Out Magazine. We have Robert Sietsema, who does the counterculture column for The Village Voice. And we have my good friend and Queens native, Rachel Blackwell, who is an artist, here to talk about Jews, food, Christmas, Chinese food, and everything in between. Okay, but before we get started, I want to talk a little bit about the history of Jews eating Chinese food, which is probably a lot longer than you actually imagine. And there's only been one academic article that we can find published on this subject, and it's called Safe Traif, for those of you who are goy. That is the food that you're not supposed to eat if you're Jewish. It's not kosher. And basically, this article tries to establish why there's such a long correlation between Jews eating Chinese food, not just on the holidays, but, you know, throughout the history as living in New York. And some of the theses that it puts forward are that it made Jews feel cosmopolitan because they had just come from Eastern Europe, that they could pretend that it was kosher because they didn't actually know what they were eating because it was all chopped up. And what was the third one?
And also because the Chinese cuisine rarely has dairy. They knew at least that even if they were eating mushu pork and shrimp with lobster sauce, that they at least weren't mixing dairy with meat in the Chinese kitchen.
That's and Brian, by the way.
Let's also remember that there are Jews in China, were Jews in China, a substantial community. So, I mean, it could actually be kosher.
That's true, but usually it's not. That's Robert, by the way. Oh, and I think another reason was that, unlike other immigrant groups in New York City at the time, there wasn't friction between Jews and Chinese. And also, as we were talking before the show, that if you try to, first of all, Chinese restaurants are open on Christmas, which is probably point number one.
Point number two, there is no, often because the Chinese are Buddhists, there is no indication of Christmas in the Chinese restaurants. You can go in there, and even though the dragons have green and red blinking eyes, there's nothing. If you want to escape from Christmas, there's nothing Christmassy about a Chinese restaurant.
And actually, I wanted to, now that we've talked about that article, Robert said he knows a lot about the lore, particularly in Brooklyn. Is that right?
Yes, particularly in Brooklyn. Orthodox Jews apparently sometimes actually eat pork. Or eat at least food that's been cooked in vessels that have cooked, you know, had pork in them. Of course, the centerpiece of kosher cooking is that you have two different sets of cookware, one for the dairy and one for the meat. And of course, you don't eat pork. But of course, you would try not to eat in a place where the pork had even touched any kind of cookware. But the thing about Jews and Chinese food is that it was considered so exotic, so alien, that they were willing to create an exemption for themselves, which they would sometimes do by lining their oven with aluminum foil in order to keep the porkiness of the food from suffusing their cooking establishment.
This is cooking at home, or?
This is, well, you don't you never cook Chinese food at home.
Right,
what you
true.
Do with the Chinese food is warm it up at home.
Yes. So, I just eat it straight out of the box.
This must have been in the days before there were like Vespas like delivering Chinese food so that it would be warm already. I assume that Papa would go, would look both ways down the street and then sneak into the Chinese restaurant and like buy the food in those little white cartons and then bring it home, and you would like put it into your, I guess, the meat pans and heat it up.
And this wasn't necessarily just on Christmas. It sounds like a...
That's right. No, this would be all the time. So in other words, there might be... And Judaism is filled with exemptions from Talmudic law. I only have to mention that the Hasidim have those eruvs, which are the kind of the fishing lines, which allow them to like push baby strollers on the Sabbath.
Or you can pay someone to do it for you, right?
That's right. Or you can leave the elevator buttons permanently all depressed.
Permanently on.
Which that was also a very common New York food tradition was, you know, the Jewish shopkeeper hooking up with the Italian shopkeeper nearby, and the Italian shopkeeper would collect money on the Sabbath or turn the lights on or whatever needed to be done. So, yeah, New York Jews in particular, I think, are good at making exceptions.
I was also, Brian, you were talking earlier about what the dishes that you would actually eat on Christmas Eve or when you would go out for Chinese food on special occasions, meaning Christian holidays.
Well, they were, I mean, you know, they were, as we were also saying, this was like, you know, this is in the early 80s, so it was before the heyday of good regional Chinese food in New York. So it was all pretty standard fare. And we got things like mushu pork, obviously, and, you know, shrimp and lobster sauce was popular. That was kind of a fancy dish. But then we would do Peking duck, as was, you know, chronicled in the Christmas story, that, you know, that's kind of the fanciest thing you can order in a Chinese restaurant. And we were surrounded by other people just like us on Christmas, you know, Jews who were either going for, like, the late shift and then a movie after dinner or had just come from a movie and were having the late dinner. And so we didn't feel like it was a very different or exceptional thing at all.
Well, not to mention the fact that that even though Jews have a completely different calendar than the Christians, I mean, nobody can escape from Christmas. I mean, the fact that you were in this Christmas milieu, even though you were in a religion that didn't observe that, and even Christians, I mean, Christmas is a joke holiday. If you are completely devout as a Christian, I mean, they have selected the birth of Christ basically at random and then filled it with these pagan things like Christmas trees. I mean, what the hell is that?
We were actually talking a little bit about that on the way here, about it being so... It's basically your... Because on Christmas, what people do is they get together... Christians get together in someone's house and they celebrate as a family and they cook and everyone brings a dish and everyone brings cookies. And going out for Chinese food and then a movie, either before or after, is almost the exact opposite of that. You're choosing to go out and instead of cooking at home. And so it's like you're as you said, it's like trying to get as far away from Christmas as you possibly can.
Exactly right.
Which is actually what we did just last year. Where was it that we went in Chinatown? It was a new place.
We went to Danny Eng.
Danny
Eng. It was
Eng.
A reconstitution of a place that had been elsewhere. This is in Manhattan Chinatown, and now it's right on the Bowery.
Did we have lettuce and soup?
We had lettuce soup.
So good.
We had like amazing food.
What are you going back to? How many years have you gone to Chinatown for Christmas, or is it totally random?
No. For years and years and years, we've gone to eat on Christmas Day in Chinatown. And part of it is just to get the hell away from Christmas, because even Christians kind of like, Christmas is not a religious holiday. It's a holiday, you know, where the whole purpose is to intensify commercialism and to make everything commercial and to just like sell the crap out of everything and just like make you want a Wii and make you want like new clothes and make you completely unsatisfied with your possessions, yes, and make you just want to like buy. So, you know, just to get away from the onslaught, what's better than a Chinese restaurant?
Yes, especially with a lazy Susan.
And they're not trying to sell you shit. I mean, it's like...
Except for the mushu pork.
Yeah, well, bring it on, man.
Because several people here, myself included, I mean, I'm half Jewish. Everyone in the room except for Robert, who is our token goy, is half Jewish. So we all have really mixed families. We all do very different things. And I think, I kind of grew up doing everything, anything. And in the 10 years I've lived in New York, I've had a different Christmas Day dinner experience every year that I've lived here. And I think Daniel and Rachel, Daniel, tell me a little bit about your family background, what you do on Christmas Day.
Well, I should start by saying that my dad is German and Swedish in descent, and not Jewish in either of those parts. And then my mom, it's like Russian Jews. So for Christmas, we actually, you know, it was never a religious thing, but it was sort of a family time. And
what would you eat?
We definitely ate. Interestingly, Christmas Eve was always a night for things that I think we often associate with Jews, even though the tradition was really coming from my dad's side. We were having smoked fish like lox and sable and herring, stuff like that. And obviously, I think that was part of his background, that German and Swedish thing, which, of course, a lot of the German Jews brought over here, which is why we have that association with Jewish eating customs. And then Christmas Day, we would have a dinner, some kind of roast, like a roast duck or a goose, maybe something like that. So it's kind of something of a typical Christmas experience. But last year, my mom was in town. She doesn't live in New York anymore. And we ended up in a Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day. And it was pretty funny. We all looked around. We said, hey, we finally had the Chinese Christmas dinner. It's about time.
What did you eat? Where did you eat?
I don't remember the place, but it was on Bayard Street in Chinatown. We just walked in, and I remember we got some sort of lobster dish, immediately violating any kind of kosher rules, which my mom, by the way, loves to do. Passover was like she would walk in from shopping and say, oops, I bought pork.
For Passover?
Oh, she, you know.
How do you work pork into Passover? I'm coming to your house for Passover.
Exactly.
As an appetizer.
One year it was pork. The next year it was lobster. And it was always accidental in quotes, right? Oh gosh, I forgot.
Which is totally the thing about like eating in Chinese restaurants. You're like, oh, I didn't realize there's pork in an egg roll. No way, it's pink. I thought it was shrimp.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, shrimp's not allowed either.
Wait, okay, Robert, where are you going this year? Do you know yet?
I think I want something really spicy. So it looks like Lan Sheng, which is the new on 39th Street, the new Sichuan restaurant where you can get like really spicy food.
But you won't be in Chinatown.
Well, I still haven't decided yet. So wait till you get your email invite.
When you said years and years and years, how many years have you been going to Chinatown for?
And who do you go out with? Just family, Jewish friends? Who do you?
Well, the thing is,
the loners left in New York City.
There have always been, yes, refugees.
That's me.
They're people who like are here. They're like, I got to do something, but what the hell am I going to do? I mean, my family's not here. I didn't want to fly at Christmas. I'm an atheist. I hate the Christmas hoopla. I don't want to see the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
I like Chinese food.
I love Chinese food. Yeah. So,
you feel like becoming an honorary Jew on Christmas.
Oh, he's way more exactly. Jewish than the rest of us in this room. No, for
totally
God's sake.
Jewish. Yeah. Yes. But for an accident of birth, I may have been a rabbi.
But I was also curious. We may have to talk about this after break, which is coming up shortly. What it was like the first couple of years you started going to Chinatown, what it was like just seeing, was it like, oh my God, I love the tradition of it.
I never got the idea myself. I don't know why I didn't get the idea because like some years, like years ago, I would like go to a Muslim country to get away from Christmas.
Wait, did you really?
Christmas hater. I hate Christmas. I just hate it. I mean, it's for the Christian. It's days of being around your extended family, people you haven't seen all year, people who are so uptight and nervous, they're like drinking too much, who are like depressed and like get up and just like look like shit and just like, you know, there's no worse time to visit your family than Christmas.
That's true.
So, so I would do things like I said, I went to a Muslim country one year and stuff, but then it was actually Calvin Trillin that inspired me. I didn't realize it was even a Jewish thing. I didn't even realize that Calvin Trillin was Jewish for the longest time. But
you went with him?
No, I had read he wrote some account about, or just mentioned, you know, in passing that he would always go to Chinatown on Christmas.
Well, I think we do have to take a break, but when we come back, I really just want to sit here and talk about our favorite Chinese food in the city.
Right, and there's a man making a fire right outside the window.
I know, it's amazing.
Very Christmassy. Yeah.
Where's the chestnuts?
He's and frozen, panwood. Look.
Yes.
And that was Chinese Jingle Bells. And this is Rachel Wharton. I am the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, which you can find totally online at ediblemanhattan.com. In addition to links to some of the things we've talked about today, on heritageradionetwork.com. And our sponsor today is also Fairway Market. We're talking about Jews and Chinese food and Christmas and everything in between. And let's see, what do we want to talk about in this second half? We wanted to talk about two very, very different stuff. We want to talk about the commodification of food on the holidays, and how we kind of at Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan, kind of encourage you to cook at home on the holidays. But also, we want to talk about really good Chinese food. Okay, guests, what do you think we should talk about first?
Oh, let's start with the more serious stuff. Then we'll move to the
okay, good
where we love to eat.
Oh, the commodification. Actually, we were talking about this before the show started, because Rachel, who is sitting over here to my left and probably has to borrow my microphone to be able to say anything, was talking about how, because the rest of us basically work in food professionally, so we spend a lot of time, whether we like it or not, eating out. And we were talking about how Daniel in particular was talking about how he worked in restaurants, and he was totally blown away the first time he ever cooked a Thanksgiving or Christmas meal about how many people actually went out, because he grew up eating at home for those meals, and that's what I always did, and I think everyone in the room did too. And Rachel said that she hardly ever eats out.
I never eat out. I mean, I do sometimes, but not for the holidays. I always cook myself or go somewhere where there is someone cooking in their own kitchen.
But you do and a 12-year, you've been doing a 12-year party in Harlem, right?
10 years party in Harlem, and it's always a different theme. The last time I went was a couple of years ago, and it was Brazilian, which was amazing. Amazing, amazing. I don't know what it's going to be this year, but I'm definitely going because it's the
You have 2 days to find out, right?
I have 2 days to find out. I have to show up and find out.
Wait, so if people cook Brazilian, is it Brazilian Christmas dishes or just Brazilian in general?
It was like a crazy pork roast and stews and I don't know. There was like a mama and a grandma. And it was like multi-generational Brazilian feast. And it was probably, I don't know if it was specific to Christmas, but it was definitely feast. And I've done seven fishes. I'm half Jewish and half Puerto Rican, so I don't really respect tradition. And I grew up in a very atheist household. We did not do anything religious at all in any way, shape, or form. So we just got together and had a meal, and that was the most important thing. And it still is. I still want to do that, whether it's with family, which is usually a kind of quick meal, and then off to the long, fun meal with friends, where you just sit back and enjoy each other's company. And I grew up eating usually on Christmas, since it was kind of, I'd go with the kind of Catholic side of things, and there would be, you know, there'd be like a small pig every once in a while. There would definitely be a beef stew.
Oh, wait, a whole pig, really?
Yeah, baby pig. That was a good one. That was a great one. And then we'd have like coquito, which is like a Puerto Rican eggnog kind of thing.
If you go
rum
to ediblebrooklyn.com, you can ediblemanhattan.com, you can find a story about coquito.
That's a little tiny frog.
Which Robert actually came
no,
with.
No, coqui is the tiny frog. Coqui is the tiny frog. Coquito is the delicious, tastes like melted vanilla ice cream.
They actually had the coquito tasting competition in the middle of the blizzard at the El Museo del Barrio.
Oh, and then you just feel like a blizzard hit you after you drink all that rum.
That's what they told me. They're like, it's just a tasting event. We don't encourage people to get drunk.
Sure.
There's only like,
would you like another
6,000 gallons of rummy coquito?
In sugar, essentially suspended in sugar.
Mm. But what, delicious. I mean, but I do think that, okay, my parents constantly tell me how when they were growing up, people, and they did not grow up in New York City, and it's probably a totally different scenario, that they just did not go out to eat as much as you do now. And I mean, now eating out is just like an inherent part of being alive. But I feel like eating out on, as Daniel was saying earlier, on Thanksgiving and Christmas seems new.
Yeah, if I could chime in, before I was writing about food, I was cooking professionally, and my family, obviously, we had a traditions of cooking at home for the holidays. So it was really surprised to me when I found myself on the schedule to work Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve in restaurants. And the number of people who show up, and not just Jews, but in general, who show up on the holidays now, to eat in restaurants and have restaurant prepared meals, it's really exploded. It's pretty standard now for a lot of restaurants of all types to stay open on these holidays and to offer sort of holiday specific tasting menus and prefix deals and things like that. And that sort of blew my mind that there were people out considering that as an option. And on the one hand, if you pick a good place, the food can really be excellent. On the other hand, it's a tremendous change from the tradition of eating at home, and something a little bit unfortunate on that front as well.
Yeah, I've had a number of bad holiday meals, including the worst one was Thanksgiving at Tavern on the Green when I was a little kid. And we didn't usually go out on holidays, but I think my parents were fighting and on the verge of getting divorced, so no one cooked that night. But they never got divorced. Mm-hmm. It was a happy ending to the story. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the issue, is that there's like two trends in America. There are the people who are, you know, in love with their food, valuing food experiences more, shopping at farmers markets, learning how to make jam, learning how to make their own bacon at home on the one side, and then the people who are sort of outsourcing all of that work on the other side. And I suppose the people who are outsourcing that is a big market for restaurants, including on special days when people are usually at home with their families.
Well, it's part of the downfall from the backwash from the age of foodism that we're currently in the middle of, that because people love food so much, and because they want new food experiences all the time, you know, they want every event to be centered on food. And so the idea of like sitting at home and eating something that you've made, you know, dumped out of cans or whatever, is seems so inferior to going out and, you know, being the bon vivant and being, you know, in a restaurant where you can see people and be seen, and where you're eating pork belly and elaborate presentations or whatever. So, you know, people want to suddenly eat meals that they used to eat at home. They want to eat out at restaurants.
That's true. Well, I guess for many people, maybe your palate is far beyond your skill level. But I mean, I just find it, I mean, I love restaurants. I encourage people to eat at them as often as possible. But for the holidays, it's not just the food. It's the talking about it and the prepping of it and the making of it and the eating of the leftovers and the putting them away and the washing the dishes. I mean, that's just what it was like in my family. It's like the whole process is the holiday. It's hard to imagine somebody not having that.
You know, an interesting point is Jews, of course, traditionally are stereotypically go to Chinese restaurants on Christmas, which is what we're talking about. And yet, I don't think many Jews, unless they've completely abandoned their identity, go out to eat in restaurants on Passover or any of this their own sacred holidays.
That's a really good yes. And also, I think most Jews obsess about food. I mean it's like they plan, they prepare, they cook, they talk about what they're going to have it next Passover like 8 months in advance. And yet this for Christmas, that's what we were talking about earlier, for Christmas it's like we're going to do the exact opposite. We're going to go get food out of a box.
I definitely eat out on other holy days. I mean, yes.
Where have you gone for Passover?
I don't know, but I remember someone brought a Tupperware with apples and honey on it, and I was I think I was at Otto's Shrunken Head. I don't probably had a slice of pizza before that. I don't remember.
And more
I was not observing.
It was on matzah.
And more people probably bring in their lamb shank and their boiled eggs, you know, made fresh by Eli Zabar, as opposed to like boiling their eggs at home.
Yeah, how many articles have you seen in every publication about like goosing up Passover by like making Moroccan food or something? You know.
Yes, Sephardic Jewish Passover. Everything
Nobody's
Passover.
Happy with the old shit. You know?
that's true, actually. I mean, basically, you can outsource every single holiday meal at this point in New York City for sure.
I'm waiting to see the headline: "Pork for Passover" in the New York Times.
Oh, okay. Here I have to insert my. Okay, so I am a Southern Jew. My family is from Lafayette, Louisiana, and my favorite Southern Jew story ever is that my grandmother's like, "Oh, you know, I used to love leftover matzo balls. I would fry them in bacon fat. I love that." And I was just totally shocked when I heard that. Okay, so now, we talked about the deep stuff. This basically just means cook your own meals, go out to dinner, do whatever you want to do. It's all fabulous. Now we can talk about Chinese food. Woo! Okay. Yay. Where do we begin?
Where do you
Manhattan?
Well, you're going to Shang Lansheng.
Oh, yeah.
The problem
down.
Is that nobody is happy anymore with Cantonese food or even Fujianese food. Southern Chinese food seems passé when you've had the food of Dongbai, Qingdao, Jian, every other possible place. I mean, we have these wild, exotic forms of Chinese food where they're eating corn and they're eating like all these things that you never saw before, and mutton covered with cumin seeds and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
and
what if you eat at a Uyghur, a Muslim Chinese restaurant on Christmas?
You could do the kosher
Jewish
thing and go to a Uyghur restaurant. What
next
a good idea.
Next year we are going, all of us in this room are going to, sponsor, host, and run the Christmas Day Don't Eat Cantonese Food Chinese. Seriously! That would be amazing, because there's this tour that happens every year in the Lower East Side of like the bagel on Christmas Day. I did it with my parents one year, where you go to the temple, the oldest temples, and you go eat bagels and go to the matzah factory. But instead, we should all be in Flushing. No, because we're Brooklyn and Manhattan. We should be in Chinatown, or we should be in Sunset Park.
Well, of course, we now have Sichuan restaurants in Manhattan that are really damn good. So we don't really have to go to Flushing to eat something that's not Cantonese food.
Man, but I guess there's probably like the mass quantities of Jews heading to any of those places. On there's still Cantonese is like a tradition.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, geographically, we love to go to Chinatown because Chinatown. I mean, if you've ever read that James Joyce story, Araby, Chinatown it remains an exotic destination for the non-Chinese person. So, going there is always, from the time you were a kid and you got excited by the sight of, like, pajamas covered with crawling babies and, like, weird umbrellas and stuff. And, for the non-Chinese heritage person, Chinatown remains kind of like a place of ultimate exoticism.
Okay, so of all the places everyone has been recently, where would you most, if you were going to pick a place in Chinatown, where would you most want to spend Christmas Day?
Well, I like the Peking Duck House. I like Ping's. I like Danny Ng's. I mean, places that are big to begin with. You don't want to be in a little hole in the wall. You want to be in a big place where kind of the load of Jews in the place kind of like create a kind of momentum for happiness.
A festiveness. A festivousness.
A festivity.
And how about in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Where should people go in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Robert.
East Harbor on 65th
East
Street.
East Harbor?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've never
that's
been
the,
there.
Is that Bay Ridge, 65th Street?
Well, it's getting close to Bay Ridge, but it's actually, there's only a couple of restaurants that have crossed the Leif Erikson Park, with a nod to my Scandinavian heritage friend here on my left. But most of them, I mean, it's just on the border of Sunset Park and Bay Ridge, and it's the biggest, most amazing of the Hong Kong Cantonese style restaurants that have appeared in Sunset Park. And it's big enough that you can really like get your celebration on.
We'll have to post a link to that. All the articles we've talked about, maybe Robert's list, everybody's list of favorites on ediblemanhattan.com. And we're about to wrap up. So I'm trying to figure out where we should end, where to eat, to encourage people to stay at home and cook or to go out to Chinese food. What do you think?
Stay at home and make a Thai curry.
Oh, Thai curry. Those are hard. They have a lot of ingredients. You would have had to have bought them all for a lot of chopping.
No, they all use those curry paste. You just have to throw the chicken into the curry paste.
Throw the chicken into the curry paste.
Open
That's
two
my
cans.
New motto. Throw the chicken into the curry paste.
I suppose the thing to say is there's obviously value in staying at home and having that experience. We should value that, but of course the flip side is that if the holiday has absolutely no meaning to you, or if you choose to
you open your presents,
right, if you choose to buy out of it, as Robert clearly has done,
opt out,
Chinese it all the way, or anything else for that matter that's open at this point on Christmas.
Wait, you could actually do all of the above.
You could go to a Jewish restaurant.
Oh, you're right. Sammy's Romanian.
Yeah.
Which you can read a story about.
Gottlieb's in Williamsburg.
Yeah. Sammy's Romanian is totally, they only close on like the Super Bowl and Passover. Like, that's the 2 days they close. Sammy's Romanian, oh my God, should we all go there? That would be amazing on Christmas Day.
It would be, but that's one of those places where they like screw you by like bringing dishes that you didn't order. And
but you have so much fun eating the latkes and drinking the vodka frozen into a block of ice. It doesn't matter.
By the handful.
Schmaltz by the handful.
The best is to get so drunk that you really don't know where you are.
Yes. Yes. The
and to still say
hallucinogens.
Right. Which you can get here at Roberta's. But the, you know, the thing, I mean, this is gushy Christmas crap, but is just that, you know, everyone has their own tradition, and of course, what are your intentions? And obviously, you're not eating out at a restaurant to be by yourself in a hole and have a bad time. Wherever you go, have a good time and celebrate and explore a new food neighborhood and a new food experience, and hopefully be good to your friends and neighbors and good tidings to others.
I actually think the tradition, that just setting a tradition yourself, setting any kind of tradition is kind of what makes a holiday a holiday. Doing the same thing every year with somewhat of the same people.
I want to spend my Christmas with Rachel.
Oh.
Me too.
Eating lettuce soup Rachel's. From a Lazy Susan in Chinatown.
Did you used to live at the North Pole, Rachel?
What? Yes. Did you
I
see
hear
my
some sleigh bells.
How much time do we have? I guess we are. This is actually the very first Edible Brooklyn Radio. Hopefully you would join us again soon. Hopefully my guests will come back repeatedly. This has been fabulous. Merry Christmas, whether you celebrate it or not, whether you give a damn.
Tis the season to be jolly.
No. Not ra 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 ra. La 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 la. Sing like this. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Try again.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la.
Stop. Sing something else.
Jingle bell, jingle all the way. All our fun is to ride in our horsey open sleigh.
No, stop. Kitchen, bring food for customers.